A couple of notices, first of all, and I'm afraid the first one is very basic for a Sunday morning. The toilets that we usually use in the school, the one on the left, unfortunately the toilet seat's broken. Where have you heard that before? So it's standing room only. So I suggest the gents use the one on the left and the ladies use the one on the right. So do apologise for that. There you go. So other notices today, we are remembering the work of Tear Fund, and following the service this morning, we are going to head to Oasis for our hunger lunch. If you're not able to come to the hunger lunch, there will be a donation box in the foyer where you can still contribute to the work of Tear Fund, and we'll be hearing a little bit more about that later on in the service. We're also going to have our Tear Fund annual big quiz, so something to do while you are supping on your soup and roll. So the idea of the hunger lunch again is that the money that you would normally spend on a Sunday lunch, please put towards the work of Tear Fund and come and support the hunger lunch at Oasis straight after the service. That means we've got no tea and coffee today. Just so you know, as we'll be heading off to Oasis. And the last notice is just to remind you that on Palm Sunday at St Mary's Church at 6 p.m. we have a professional Christian theatre group performing The Passion. And I've got tickets, they cost £5 each. If you're not able to come but would still like to make a donation towards the event, please see me. Otherwise, please get your tickets from me over the next couple of weeks. That'd be brilliant. Okay, so some opening words from Scripture, and this is from Psalm 34 and from verse 17, and I'm reading this from the Message translation. Is anyone crying out for help? God is listening, ready to rescue you. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath. Disciples often get into trouble. Still, God is there every time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are our rescuer and our restorer. We come to you this morning and just want to praise you and thank you for who you are. We thank you that you love us just as we are. And we pray that through your Holy Spirit, you will come to us this morning. We thank you that you are here with us this morning. And we just pray that you will minister to us and bring us closer to Jesus. Amen. And let's share the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Our first song is actually a medley and combines the wonderful hymn Amazing Grace with Not By Might Nor Even Power. Thank you. Oh, Please sit down. Later on, Alistair is going to be preaching about beauty for brokenness. And I read a story this week, which I wanted to share with you, about a broken bowl. Thanks, Danny. If you could find the bowl. Thank you. And this story is about a five-year-old girl called Reiko. Reiko lives in Japan with her parents and her grandparents. And it was her mum's birthday, and she wanted to give her something special. And her mum had a very special bowl, a bit like the one you see here. So Reiko wanted to give her something special. So she got together all of the treats that she knew that her mum liked and put them in the bowl. And she was just about to give them to her mum when, unfortunately, she tripped in the kitchen, fell over, and the bowl smashed into lots of pieces on the ground. And she was very sad and she was crying. And her grandfather came in and said, what's wrong? What's happened? And she said, the bowl has broken and I can't fix it. Her grandfather said, but I know a man who can. So they picked up all the bits off the floor, put them on a tray and took them into the garage where Reiko's father was working. And Reiko's father was a very talented artist. And she was very sad because she thought she'd broken her mum's favourite bowl. But he went to her and he gave her a big hug and said, what's wrong? And she said, I've broken mum's bowl and I can't fix it. And he said, don't worry, we'll sort it out. I'll fix it for you, but it will look even better than it did before. So he started to fix the bowl, And Reiko just looked at it and couldn't believe what he was doing. So what he did, he took some gold lacquer and he took some flour rice and he brought it together and made some glue. And bit by bit, he was able to bring the broken bits together and he turned it into the bowl that you can see there. And Reiko was just thrilled. And she said, "Dad, it's just looked so much better than it did before with all the gold glistening." And this technique is called kintsugi in Japan. And basically, it's taking something which is broken and making something more beautiful out of it. And Reiko looked at the bowl and was still worried that her mum might be upset because it was broken. But her grandfather just took her aside and said to her, "There are things in our lives that will break. No matter how careful we are, they do break. But that doesn't mean it can't be fixed. What once was broken can become beautiful again." I couldn't bring a broken bowl this morning. I thought I might get in trouble for doing that. But I've got the next best thing, which is a very new Easter egg. Nothing inside, I'm afraid. I took those out. But, you know, sometimes we feel that we're broken and we don't know how things can be restored. So we're broken just like this egg. But God knows that. And he lovingly puts us back together again. If I can just take the label out, there you go. It puts us back together again. And yet we still break. You know, things happen. We get cracks and we do things wrong. But then he repairs us. He brings us back together again. And have you ever tried fixing yourself when you're broken? It doesn't work. Just like a bowl can't fix itself. We need someone to fix it for us. And that's why God sent Jesus to be our saviour. Because what he does is he takes our broken pieces, picks them up off the floor, and puts them back together again to make us whole and bring us back to him. That's what our Saviour does. Doesn't matter how broken we are, he will always bring us back together again. And there's brokenness all over the world. And this morning, as we think about Tear Fund and celebrate the work that they do with partner churches across the world in over 50 countries, I just wanted to share a short film with you about what God is doing through Tear Fund and the church in Zambia.
With your support, Tear Fund's church and community transformation training can help communities to lift themselves out of poverty. Come and see this transformative work in action.
My name is Anne Mumbi. I'm the country director for Tear Fund in Zambia. I would like to welcome you to Zambia, a land of a million opportunities. And we are working with the local church to unlock these opportunities by equipping and empowering the leadership and the church congregations to realize the local resources that God has given us. Zambia has several challenges. Youth unemployment is really one of the big ones. We also have a lot of small-scale farmers that normally would not have access to inputs. We also have a challenge in terms of climate change now that is really a big issue. So a number of communities face droughts, others get flooded. That makes it even worse for small-scale farmers and households, especially in the rural areas. And so this is why as Tear Fund we are working with the local church to equip it and to empower them so they can actually be able to look at locally available resources and also be able to be given skills. So a number of pastors and leaders at church level women groups in the church, young people in the church have begun to engage in small businesses. Others have intensified in terms of agriculture. The Bible studies are the central part of the activities that are happening in the communities, and that is bringing a mindset transformation. I think the church has begun to make an indelible contribution towards poverty reduction in Zambia. Without your support, some of these stories would not be told. I want to say thank you to the supporters. You are part of the stories of change that are happening in Zambia at household level, at church level, at community level, even at national level. You are part of the stories of many, many families and churches that have experienced genuine and true transformation.
Thank you. Let's just come in prayer for a moment. Father, we thank you for the work that you're doing in Zambia. And we do pray for Tear Fund, and we pray for the churches who are looking to relieve poverty in that country. We pray for the communities where you have put churches. And we just pray even now, Father, that those communities may know that we are praying for them. They may know your peace, and they may know your love as you look to use your partners to end poverty in that country. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, we're going to have three songs now. First one is Ascribe Greatness to Our God the Rock, then Jesus We Enthrone You, and finally, Lord, We Give You Praise. And if I can ask for the collection to be taken up in the third song. For those of you that are visiting, it's lovely to see you this morning. We have two bags that are passed around. One is a cloth bag, that's for the work of the church here. And secondly, some pots, and those are for the 7 sponsored children who we sponsor across the world through Compassion and Open Doors. So thank you. Thank you very much.
God and the righteous day.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for everything that you've given to us. And we ask and we pray that these gifts that we give back to you will be blessed and will be used to further your kingdom here on earth. We pray especially for our children scattered around the world, and pray that even now they may know your peace and your love upholding them. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And let's just pray for our own children as they leave for Sunday school. Father, we thank you for our children. We thank you they are so precious to you. And we pray for a blessing on them now and their teachers as they learn more about you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If any of you are on Tier Fund's email distribution list, you may have seen this week a story about a lady called Kimona. And Kimona lives in Bangladesh, and it's an area where there is extreme poverty. But this is an example of through training from Tier Fund and the local church partner, she was provided with a fishing net and equipment, and now she can go fishing every day, and she can sell her fish at the local market to earn an income for her family and support them. And during this period of Lent, Tier Fund is calling on all Christians to pray for the restoration we long to see across the world and in our own lives. But as we do, let's not forget the greatest miracle of all, that God has restored our relationship with him. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now with our prayers for others. We pray for our church family. And in the quietness now, we bring before you those who may feel broken, either in body, mind, or spirit. And we pray for their restoration, and for the peace to help them to deal with what they are going through. And we pray for our community and for the churches who are looking to meet the needs of our community. We pray for people who are hungry, who are lonely, who have to make difficult choices every day, and those who are grieving. And Father, we pray for our world. And this morning we particularly pray for the work of Tear Fund and partner churches who are fighting extreme poverty in over 50 countries, often in dangerous circumstances. Father God, help us to reach out to others, seeing their needs and caring for them. May we love as you love, extravagantly and indiscriminately. May we care as you do, without expectation and without counting the cost. Lead us to a deeper understanding of your compassionate care for others, especially where they're suffering in situations we don't even know or understand. Lord, give us the mind of Christ. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Another song. Yes. Our next song is I Will Worship With All My Heart. Please sit down. Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Amen. Let's pray for Alistair as he comes to us. Father, we thank you for Alistair. We thank you for the message that you have put on his heart this morning. And we pray that you will bless him, and by your Holy Spirit, you will challenge us and inspire us and teach us new things about you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
About the best cities to visit in the spring. Best European cities to visit in spring. So see if you can recognise these destinations. Please don't say Blackpool. Paris. Any offers? Yep, Tulip's a bit of a giveaway. They're cue for a song, isn't it? Yep, Budapest. Think I've heard one or two. Florence? Yep, Florence. Yep, Edinburgh. And one more. Yep, Venice. Let me tell you about another beautiful city, Jericho. Jericho laid claim to be one of the oldest inhabited cities on earth. And of course, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. It's 840 feet below sea level, which is very low, and it's around 18 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And it was a beautiful, beautiful city. Herod had built a magnificent winter palace at Jericho. There were theatres, there were amphitheatres, there were villas, there were baths, there were palm trees, there were rose gardens, and it had a delightful winter climate. So Jericho is a beautiful city. But it's not the beauty and splendour of Jericho that concerns Jesus when he arrives in Jerusalem, in Jericho. And no doubt his heart is heavy as he arrives in Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, where he is shortly going to lay down his life upon a cross. Back in 1993, Graham Kendrick wrote a song that we sing here at SBC, Beauty for Brokenness. He wrote it following a visit he made to India in 1992, when he was deeply moved at the contrast between Indian poverty and Western affluence. So he wrote the song, Beauty for Brokenness. And when I was thinking about this story of blind Bartimaeus, it seems to me that that's the theme that weaves its way through the story, isn't it? Beauty for brokenness. So Passover is approaching pretty fast, and it's time for pilgrimages. So thousands of people are on their way to Jerusalem. And Bartimaeus and the disciples and this huge crowd arrive at Jericho. And in this magnificent, beautiful, affluent city, Bartimaeus, a blind man, is sitting by the roadside begging. And it all sounds very, very contemporary, doesn't it? It's Oxford Street in London. So you've got affluence and poverty side by side. You've got beauty and brokenness side by side. Well, Bartimaeus hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So he begins to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." I guess Bartimaeus must have heard about Jesus. Maybe the crowd are talking with such excitement about this man who's saying extraordinary things, who's performing extraordinary miracles. Maybe Bartimaeus has heard that this is the one on whom the Spirit of the Lord has come, who will give recovery of sight to the blind. Maybe he's beginning to put two and two together. Maybe he's begun to grasp that this is the Son of David. This is the Messiah, the one who will bring healing and wholeness. Whatever may be the case, he begins to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." It's very interesting, isn't it? You've got a huge crowd, and yet you've got only one broken man who comes to Jesus to ask for mercy. Huge crowd, but just one broken man who cries for mercy. And that sort of begged a bit of a question to me. What stops people coming to Jesus? Back in 2007, some workers from the Cheltenham and Gloucester Building Society went on a Christmas coach trip all the way to Lille in France. Unfortunately, they ended up at a tiny village called Lille in neighbouring Belgium, 7 hours away. And apparently the driver's sat-nav got Lille, the city in France, muddled up with Lille, the village in Belgium. But here's the thing. None of the passengers, or even the driver, realised they were lost. It's a picture, isn't it? Without Jesus in your life, I guess so many people don't realise that without him they're lost. They're on the wrong road, headed in the wrong direction. Well, Bartimaeus begins to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Do you remember what happens next? The crowd, this huge crowd, begin to rebuke Bartimaeus. They tell him to be quiet. Maybe they're in a mad rush to get to Jerusalem. They don't want Jesus to be stopped by some blind beggar at the side of the road. Maybe they're thinking all this shouting, all this noise, all this crying out for mercy, that is not really in keeping with the dignity of the person of Jesus. Maybe they're thinking, well, the religious leaders aren't going to be impressed. Somebody publicly shouting, "Jesus, Son of David," so they rebuke Bartimaeus and they tell him to be quiet. Sometimes being part of a crowd is wonderful, isn't it? Do you like being part of a crowd sometimes? Sometimes it's great. I remember being at Selhurst Park, December 1972, with 40,000 other people, watching little old Crystal Palace beat Manchester United, sorry Stu, 5-0. 5-0. We were 2-0 up at half time, and the crowd, I mean, the atmosphere was just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. We could not believe what we were seeing right in front of our eyes. Incidentally, Manchester United sacked their manager 3 days later. Frank O'Farrell, if you remember Frank O'Farrell from the 70s. And as I mentioned a few weeks ago, I remember it being at the Baptist World Alliance Centennial Conference back in 2005 in Birmingham. And there was 12,000 of us from 100 different countries singing God's praises together. And for me, that was just like a foretaste of heaven. It's what we've got to look forward to in heaven. And I was reminded of that glorious vision from Revelation 7 when I was there. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. I love this bit. From every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Sometimes being part of a crowd is great, isn't it? I hope you like being part of a crowd on a Sunday morning. Something about being together as God's family, singing his praises together, isn't there? Sometimes being part of a crowd is not so great. You may remember the riots that affected some of our big cities back in 2011, I think it was. And people were just caught up in the violence, in the crowds, in the looting. Thousands were arrested. And I was reading about the story of a man called Nicholas Robinson, just an ordinary guy. He was 23, from Brixton in South London, an electrical engineering student, no previous convictions, squeaky clean. And he said he was walking back from his girlfriend's house in the early hours, and he sees the Lidl store being looted. And he takes the opportunity to go into the store and help himself to a case of water worth £3.50. And he was later arrested and charged, and he was jailed for 6 months. And you remember what he said? Can you guess what he said? "I was caught up in the moment. I was caught up in the moment. I'm ashamed of my actions." Sometimes being part of a crowd is not so great. We've alluded to the brokenness of Bartimaeus, but maybe there is a sense too in which this crowd is broken. The crowd is broken. They're caught up in the moment. They are acting as one. They've probably become quite hardened to seeing beggars at the side of the road, especially at the city gates asking for alms. They seem to begrudge Bartimaeus a place to beg, try and stop him coming to Jesus. They seem to have no idea who Jesus is, what his mission is all about. So here's the question: who's more broken? Is it Bartimaeus or is it the crowd? Well, the crowd rebuked Bartimaeus and they told him to be quiet. But Bartimaeus is not going to be put off, is he? If other people feel that it's not worth their while to come to Jesus, that's up to them. But he's desperate. And so often, desperation is the doorway to faith. So Bartimaeus shouts all the more, doesn't he? "Son of David, have mercy on me." And then we read probably two of my favourite words anywhere in the Gospels. Jesus stopped. I love those words. Jesus stopped. You can picture the scene, can't you? You know what it's like when you've got a huge crowd. So Jesus will stop, then the disciples will stop, and then the whole crowd will just grind to a halt. Maybe you've done that yourself. When you're at the front of people, you stop. Everybody behind you stops, don't they? And mustn't there have been a really good reason for Jesus to stop? I mean, where is he heading? He's on his way to Jerusalem. Surely he's going to lay down his life upon a cross. There's got to be a very good reason for Jesus to stop. Is he having second thoughts, do you think, about his divine mission? Is he thinking about turning back? Is he sort of beginning to reflect and just getting overwhelmed by the sorrow, the, the fear of all that is going to lay ahead of him in the coming days. Well, no, he's stopped because he hears a cry for mercy from a blind beggar. And a cry for mercy will always stop Jesus in his tracks. And I want to remind you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that means the same Jesus who weeps at the tomb of Lazarus weeps with us in our loss, in our loneliness. The same Jesus who reaches out and touches lepers puts his arms around us when we feel misunderstood, sidelined, marginalized. The same Jesus who reached out and cleansed messy sinners reaches out and cleanses us, answers those half-hearted pleas for mercy with his cleansing, his healing, his grace, his power. The same Jesus who stops for Bartimaeus, remember a blind beggar who everybody else is rebuking and telling him to be quiet, but he's going to stop for you and me as well. In our brokenness, in our heartache, in our pain. Beauty for brokenness. That's a great exchange, isn't it? And then Jesus says, call him. So they call to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Crowds can be very fickle, can't they? When Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey on that first Palm Sunday, you wonder if it's the same crowd who shout Hosanna, who then shout crucify him a week later. Crowds can be very fickle. Every celebrity, every politician, every person in the public eye knows it will take just one throwaway comment, one careless post on social media, one leaked email to have a whole world turn against you and your world come crashing down. It's all it takes. We've seen it this week, I think, haven't we? I think it was David Miller, former politician, you might remember. He said every politician is just one soundbite away from destruction. And you don't realise that you're mic'd up. And what you thought is a private comment is heard by the whole world. And the world turns against you. Crowds can be very, very fickle. And I wonder if it's the same crowd who's just rebuked Bartimaeus and told him to be quiet, who now say, cheer up on your feet, he's calling you. I wonder if blind Bartimaeus' desperate cry for mercy has touched their hearts after all. Or are they just wanting to see some action on the road to Jerusalem, hoping Jesus will perform a miracle? Mark doesn't tell us. But now the focus is on Jesus and Bartimaeus, beauty for brokenness. So verses 50 and 51 say this, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. I think of a man who had his elderly mum living with him. And she was difficult and she was demanding and she was becoming increasingly frail. And she just swamped him all the time with constant demands for attention and for help. He was really struggling to do his work. He didn't have any social life. He was just completely overwhelmed. And the minister popped round to see them, and together they looked at the different options that might be a possibility. So assisted living, sheltered housing, rest homes, nursing homes, and all sorts. Any one of them would have been a real possibility. But the mother sees a fatal flaw in every single option. None of them are going to do. And after about an hour, she turns to her son and she says, there you are. I told you he couldn't do anything for us. Of course, the reality is that she didn't actually want anyone to do anything for her. She wanted to go on being difficult and demanding, playing the victim, putting moral pressure on her son, everybody else, to feel sorry for her. And maybe Jesus' question here addresses exactly the same possibility. Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Do you want to give up begging? Do you want to change? Do you want to live differently? Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Funny, isn't it? You may remember that Jesus had recently asked the same question to James and John. Remember that story? Boanerges, the sons of thunder. What do you want me to do for you? They ask for extraordinary glory, don't they? Let one of us sit on your right and the other on your left in your glory. Bartimaeus asks for ordinary health. Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So at one level, Bartimaeus is saved physically, and he receives his sight. At another level, he's saved spiritually. So do notice that Bartimaeus doesn't go from Jesus, he goes with Jesus, following him along the road. The road, remember, that's going to lead to Jerusalem. It's going to lead to the cross. Beauty for brokenness. I remember my first train set. Surprisingly, it wasn't a steam train, but it was a British Rail Class 31 diesel-electric locomotive. And in those days, it came with an oval of track and some trucks, courtesy of Hornby. And of course, it's a perfect scale model, isn't it? Of the real British Rail Class 31 diesel-electric locomotive. In a sense, the story of Bartimaeus is a model, isn't it? It's a model of true discipleship. Jesus has transformed Bartimaeus from a beggar beside the road to a disciple along the road. And faith that leads to discipleship is true saving faith. A faith that follows Jesus. A faith that follows Jesus on an uphill road all the way to Jerusalem. Let's pray together. Father, as so often, we want to thank you for our wonderful Saviour. We thank you that he always knows how we feel. He always knows what we're going through. He understands us when we're facing difficult times. He understands us when we're facing good times. But we want to thank you that he is a Saviour who delights to journey with us through all the ups and downs of life. And we thank you too for that call to discipleship, to follow Jesus on that road that lays ahead of us. I do pray, Lord, that each one of us might just examine our hearts this morning, that we might know where we are on our own journey of faith. And maybe for those of us who feel perhaps quite a long way away from Jesus this morning, we just pray that he might reach out and draw them close to him. And we pray, Lord, that each one of us might respond to his call on our lives. That we won't just sing that Jesus is Lord, but we will proclaim that he is Lord in the way that we follow him and the way that we live him for him and the way that we serve him. And we ask it all in his name. Amen. So we're going to close our worship. We're going to sing that Graham Kendrick song. It probably won't surprise you to learn. And it's Beauty for Brokenness. Thank you. So now may the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself, the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service, and the joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us for always. Amen.